When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born?
Those polygamous unions that we see represented in the Bible didn't turn out very well.
If you were reading somebody who was dabbling in postmodern ideas, the very first thing that they would engage in is a lengthy discussion that at the end of it would make you think, well, maybe I can't trust my Bible.
What suffering and heartache and sorrow do you want? Do you want that which God is going to give you, or will you choose your own cross?
This hour of Issues Etc. wasn't just to give you information about Joel Osteen. It's also to accuse you and me of thinking just like him.
Didgeridoo players in Iowa love Issues Etc.
When you come across words in media coverage of religion stories, especially with regard to social issues, like archaic or old-fashioned, it probably should raise a flag for you. Now, it's one thing for it to be in a quote taken from an opponent or a proponent of an issue. It's another thing for it to actually appear in the written, the journalism part, the written part of the story. So what do we do with the Time Magazine piece? You might have seen it recently. A story on gay rights in India and a sodomy law there that has been, well, has it been upheld or reimposed? It's hard to tell by reading the Time Magazine piece. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. George Conger of GetReligion.org joins us for the first few minutes to talk about that Time Magazine story on gay rights in India. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare and the armor of God. And then, part seven of our ongoing series on the formula of concord today, we'll be talking about the third use of the law. I think it's fair to say the most controversial use of the three uses of the law outlined in the Lutheran Confessions. Pastor Paul McCain, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, will be our guest in hour two of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. George Conger is a regular guest. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
Reflecting recently on this Time Magazine piece on gay rights in India and a sodomy law there, you suggest that we might be seeing the new normal. That's what you call it, the new normal of reporting on social issues. What do you mean by that, and why do you suggest that?
Well, the new normal that I and many of my colleagues at Get Religion are seeing is that balance is no longer a requirement for mainstream media reports on social issues. For example, Keller, former editor of the New York Times, has stated publicly that his paper strives to be impartial when it looks at politics or finance or business, even sports, but doesn't say feel the same need to be even-handed or show two sides of an argument when it discusses moral issues. Keller's argument is that when our staff in Manhattan views the world of social issues, abortion, gay marriage, polygamy, so on and so forth, we view it through a liberal lens, and it's only natural that we approach it in that way, so we don't need to bother to mention the conservative side of the issue.
So is it a concession that they are taking a liberal view, or is it simply saying, look, any rational person is going to view it the way we would view it, we're just taking the rational person's view?
Absolutely. I hear it as a concession, but it is, for them, is an explanation. In other words, they're saying that, look, there's no need to take seriously the arguments of traditionalists on moral issues because they're so outside the mainstream. Their thinking is so old-fashioned, so not with it, we don't even need to bother to even address it. Now, they don't make that issue when talking about Democrats and Republicans, but in talking about Christians, traditional Christians, and moral issues, you know, the traditional Christians are old-fashioned, old hat. They're archaic, and they don't really need to be taken seriously. And the New York Times, now Time Magazine, and many publications have that worldview.
So let's get into
that. Religion is just not something that you need to take seriously.
Let's get into the particulars of the Time Magazine story. Take us through a few of the things that you find that kind of reflect that new normal.
Well, Time Magazine's reporter from New Delhi wrote about a decision by their Supreme Court. The Indian Attorney General had urged the Supreme Court to strike down their sodomy law, a law on the Indian books that says sexual relations, carnal knowledge between two people of the same gender, is a criminal offense. And that law has been around for a long, long time. It comes from the British colonial era. And the government was pushing to have the Supreme Court strike it down as unconstitutional. Well, the Supreme Court said, no, it is not unconstitutional. Gay sex is not a right guaranteed under the Indian Constitution. If the government wants to change that law, then they have to do it by the legislature. They can't just have a judge do it by fiat. Well, Time Magazine just blew up on this. They wrote about how this law was archaic, and they used the word twice, and how this was just a terrible defeat for the advances of progress, and just so on and so on, and just in that line of thinking, bemoaning and bewailing the Supreme Court judgment that said the legislature needs to address the laws, not the judiciary. And what was so striking about this was that they had no voices from India's traditional movements, no Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, or Christians, who have spoken long and loudly about maintaining the current laws. It was totally one-sided. It was an opinion piece, but put in Time Magazine's news section.
So, just a complete dearth of as you said before, as any attempt to balance the one side's view on the issue.
No, there was no attempt whatsoever, and there wasn't even. Now, sometimes you can't get. As a reporter, it's not always easy to get both sides of a story, for instance. Sometimes somebody won't talk. In other words, it's not like by not having two sides, it automatically fails. But this isn't that situation. In India, religious groups, interfaith groups, have long and loudly fought against the movement to liberalize the country's constitution and adopt a Western mindset towards human sexuality. So there are plenty of people out there who could speak to this issue. But Time Magazine chose not to, and there were just like little phrases and words throughout the article that makes you know that they don't really care. Like for instance, they say, well, this is the good news from this decision is that now the government is going to have to face this issue straight ahead and give gay rights its full attention. In other words, they're calling changing the law good news. They're calling those opponents who are against it antiquated. These are my words, but slack-jawed troglodytes who just don't get the latest and greatest news coming out of Manhattan.
You also think
and
of this.
This is Time Magazine we're talking about. This is one of the pillars of American journalism, and it has completely abandoned the journalistic standards of balance and fairness and information, providing information.
You also treat this in light of something a colleague, I believe, at Get Religion reflected on the tendency of liberalism to simplify. We got a few minutes here left in our conversation. What is that tendency, and how is it reflected here in Time Magazine's piece?
Well, Lionel Trilling, who was a literary critic at Columbia in the 1940s and one of the foremost American men of letters of the last century. He was a liberal, but he said, you know, we liberals, we just cannot close our minds to the conservative world, because if we don't engage with the ideas of our opponents, we become small-minded, we become provincial, we tend to simplify everything into very, very shallow categories. And what Trilling was saying was that unless an idea is put to the test, unless it is tested, it cannot hold up on its own. You can't find the flaws in an argument. And where Time magazine is gone, and the New York Times and many other publications, is that they don't test their assumptions. They have no interest in examining their own thinking and just dismiss everyone else who doesn't share their mindset. And that's not the life of the mind. That's just a mob mentality. And modern liberalism, as it typified by Time and other publications, have that modern mob mentality, profoundly provincial, small-minded, anti-intellectual, because they refuse to engage with anybody other than their own.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's written recently in an article in the latest Around the Word journal. The article's titled, A Body Under Attack, Spiritual Warfare in the Church. He's written about how the church, as the body of Christ, is under constant attack and yet is armed and is armored with Christ himself. We'll talk about all of that on the other side of the break.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
He Has Made Him Known, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The true God is not a God that will be found as a result of our God seeking. He will only be revealed as he looks for and finds us. This is what was happening when Jesus was born.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the conversion of Paul. You can make an online tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.